All right, Lord, we just thank you again for a nice night tonight, Father. Thank you for this little rain we got, Lord. It was needed. Lord, we just thank you that tonight's going to be an awesome time, Father, that we want to encourage people's faith, Lord, to believe what your word says and to believe like they did back there in the first century, that you can't put limits on you, Lord. Not going to put limits on you. We're going to put you out of the box. We're going to take you right out of the box, Lord, and allow you to do whatever it is you need to do. And we praise you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. We thank you not that tonight's going to be a special night, Lord, because you're in charge. You're the one leading us, Lord, and I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight you're going to anoint everybody in here to see and to experience the miracle, the mighty miracle making gospel that you've given us, Lord, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. I praise you, Father, for all the men that you have used and women you have used over the years with the signs and wonders, Lord, that brings people into the kingdom of God. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to show us some examples of what you can do and what you have done and what you're going to do even further in the days ahead. And Father, we thank you for it. We thank you tonight, Lord, for your anointing upon everything that's spoken. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, we got any prayer requests for tonight? Whoop. Any prayer requests? Hey, Joe. Today is 12/7/7. Yeah. Anybody got any prayer requests? I'm looking. Yeah, go ahead, Julie. I'll undo you. I'll undo you so you don't have to move.
No, she was saying today's the 5th, not the 7th.
Oh, I still got November's up. Excuse me. Okay, I got it. Yeah, I got November still up. I got to take that down. I'm a month behind up there. There it is. Hey, today's the 5th. I don't know why y'all said the 8th. Good gracious. All right, anybody got any prayer requests? Well, Leon, where is that boy? He hadn't made it in yet. All right. What about testimonies? Praise reports. I know some people in here has got some praise reports. Yeah, Matt.
I've got a little bit of what happened? Just one moment.
Oh, right, no.
My tablet was acting up. Anyways, I have a little bit of a praise report and a little bit of something to pray for as well. This morning, I guess, I was reading one of my faith books at work, and one of the guys came up to me and goes, "What you reading?" I showed him, you know, it was Ever Increasing Faith by Wigglesworth. And he's like, "Okay, what?" He asked, you know, what denomination I was. I'm non-denominational, you know. And he goes, "Let me ask you something." And he looks real serious. He goes, "Do you believe in faith healings?" I go, "Yes, I do." He goes, "I was raised in a non-denominational church that, you know, believed in the Holy Spirit and faith healings and, you know, this and that and, you know, a lot of the things that, you know, the Bible says." And he goes, and anyway, he says, "I'm getting back into reading the Bible and, you know, doing that stuff again." And he said that the Holy Spirit has talked to him a couple times, you know, and told him things. I don't know if he just kind of fell away or what happened there, but we had a good talk, and it was really encouraging anyways, and so I just want to pray into that a little bit. Lord, I thank you for this man you brought across my path, Lord, and we pray that you keep driving him into your word, Lord, to find you, and that you would restore unto him anything that he has lost throughout the years, Lord, that close relationship with you, Lord. And, we thank you for doing that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else?
Matt, did you have his name, Matt?
Yes, his name is Philip.
Okay. Okay. Thanks. Okay. So,
is that with one L or two?
I didn't ask him.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
But it was an interesting conversation, and you know, he says that, you know, he really doesn't like churches. Wait a minute. He thinks that, you know, people put too much into one man rather than just reading the Bible and finding out what, you know, what the mm-hmm. Bible has to say instead of what someone has to say.
Amen. All right, anybody else? Leon, I got you in here twice. No?
I'm only here once, though.
Are you on the phone or something?
No, I'm on the video now, but...
Okay.
It's a goofy setup.
All right, I just lost you. No, I got you on the video, but I lost the Leon thing on the other side. I don't know what that was.
Well, they hooked me up different, and I hung up and got on the video.
I got you. Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad you
Hello,
did.
Hello, everybody.
All right. Anybody else got a praise report or a testimony?
I have a prayer request first.
Okay.
Debbie and I, we were praying today, and it just came a burden to pray for Barry's and Vanessa's children. So I just want to pray for them, and just believe God's going to be doing something in their lives. And so, Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus for Barry and Vanessa's children. Lord, we pray for Nathan. God, we believe you showed us, Lord, that he gave some verses about Ishbosheth in the Old Testament, where when he came back to the king, that was Jonathan's son, and then David made a commitment to Jonathan to take care of him. He was a cripple. But anyway, in that whole little bit of scripture, it showed that God was going to bless him. And Nathan is kind of, Barry said, he's kind of a little bit of a hippie-ish. He's got long hair, and he dresses with unkept type. He just, that's just the way he's always been, you know. So when we saw that, we thought, well, yeah, we know this is for Nathan. But God, we pray for Nathan right now, Lord, that you would corral him, Lord. You would move in on his life, Father, and show him, give him faith, Lord Jesus, to trust you. You just have mercy on him, Lord Jesus, and show him that he has a right to eat at the king's table, Lord. We see him complete. We see him as saved. We just believe he's already saved, and he's going to be eating at the king's table. So we thank you, Lord Jesus. Then there's Albin, and Albin is divorced. He has two children that he's raising, Jonah and Todd. No, what's he? Otto. I'm sorry, Otto. But we want to pray for him, Lord. We just lift him up to you, Father, as we've been seeking words for them, Lord Jesus, and show him that he's dead to the law, Lord Jesus, but he's alive in Christ, and that he's going to live in the new life of the Spirit. And so we just pray that for Albin, Lord, and bless his children, Lord, and his that wife that's divorced. I don't know the whole situation, but we lift him up to you. And then there's a Jed in we just felt the Lord show us that he's going to be preaching the gospel and arguing persuasively for the gospel, like Paul did. It was a time where he argued persuasively, it says. And we just believe that's going to be for Jed, Lord. So we just lift Jed up to you. Bring this to pass in his life, Father. This is your word. We trust your word, Lord. We don't trust what we see. We trust what your word. This is the word you've given, Lord, and this is for him. And then Julia, we just pray for Julia. We felt that God shows that glory and honor and peace. She's going to come into glory and honor and peace. And Lord, she's going to come and partake of the body, Lord Jesus. She's going to be free. She has a tendency to want to stay home and just be by herself a lot. So, but you know, she belongs with the body of Christ and that she has something to contribute. And just pray that you would bless her, Lord Jesus, with faith and bring her forth. Just bring her out of that place where she's in her bedroom a lot, Lord. And we just have mercy on her. And we thank you for it, God, for what you're going to do in her life. We just thank you, Lord. Bless Barry and Vanessa, too, Lord. Bless Vanessa while she's away with her mom and brother in Texas. And just anoint her there to minister to Steve and Daphne, Lord, her brother and his wife. And then her mom is there, too. We just lift them up to you, Lord, for a blessing, Lord Jesus. And bless Barry, Lord. Just give them faith and confidence and trust in you. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We command. We come against those demons that have held Julia in all of that bondage in Jesus' name, and we bind you up and cast you off of her in Jesus' name, Lord. She doesn't know what freedom is, Father. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you set her free in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Lord, put it in her heart to ask for prayer. That's the big thing right there. Just put it in her heart to ask for prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Thank you, Denny. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Marla.
Yeah, I've been having trouble getting food down and having it stay down. And I know you guys have been praying for me, and a lot of people around here have, but just praise the Lord because it's gotten better the last couple of days. And he's the one that does the work, and I just praise him and thank him for that.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I got a testimony. I don't know if I shared this the other night, but I had a brother come up to me and were sympathizing with me about the way that I was having trouble getting up out of chairs and things. And I just said, no, I don't have any problems getting out of chair. I'm not going to have any problems. Or I don't remember exactly what I said. But at that moment when I was healed, that moment when I spake it, it became reality to me. Thank you, Father. Amen. That's my testimony. Anybody else? Listen, you got a testimony if your eyes is open and you're breathing, okay? You got a testimony.
I have a testimony of healing for my knees. We were in the service last Friday night, and it was a word of knowledge. Actually, Michael had the word of knowledge that guy was going to heal me, and he came over and asked what I needed. It was my knees because they're just really sore and weak, and I really have a hard time going up and down stairs and just walking. It's, it was getting worse and worse. But he asked if I was going to trust God, and I said, yes, I am. And so they prayed, and boy, the pain went right away, just gone. And then I started kind of like marching my knees up and down and thanking the Lord. And it's been manifestly healed. I've been healed. And, still having a little trouble coming downstairs. I know what it is. I've been walking sideways one step at a time, like for so long, my muscles are, they have to learn how to walk down steps again. You know, it's not so much the pain. It's just, they're just not used to it. I go upstairs fine. No problem. And
you can come downstairs fine too. Listen, yeah, here's what, Let me tell you a little story. When we prayed for that little kid, that 4-year-old kid that had his feet like that, and God straightened them out, and his mama saw him going like this, and he's kind of going like that. She said, "Boy, don't you never, in as long as your eyes is open, do that again. You walk straight," and you know, she jumped on him, and that's what we have to do. We can't revert back, because that gives the enemy a chance to come back and say, "Oh, he don't think he's here." No, well, I'm here. Praise God. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, that was a wonderful night. You weren't the only one. Missy was healed as well.
Yes. Amen.
Of some stuff. I don't remember what it was. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody else? I did want to mention one thing. There's been some question about if you're believing by faith, and the gift of healing is in operation in a meeting, do you ask for prayer or do you keep believing in faith? Well, it's just whatever you're led to do. Let me say this, though. If the gift of healing is there, that might be the time that God has for you to get healed. That may be your time right then, depending on how you believe. And so any time that the gift of healing is in operation, or the gift of faith, or the gift of miracles is in operation, you know, if you feel compelled to get prayed for, ain't nobody going to say a thing in the world. I remember we had a meeting, this has been 6 years ago, we had a lady that had a hip joint, a knuckle that was completely gone, disintegrated, and she had a terrible time walking. And I had to walk on crutches most of the time. And the Lord came in, the gift of healing, and we prayed for her. And I walked her around the sanctuary, and the ball was replaced completely. She felt it growing in her side, I mean in her hip. She felt it. And then not everything was healed, but that ball was set in place. And the next meeting, the gift of healing was there, and I knew that she was going to get healed that night, but she didn't come up for prayer. She didn't come up. She didn't feel like she needed to. She felt like that she was standing in faith, which is fine, but I knew that God was going to heal her that night. That was the night that he was going to heal her. And what the Lord does with me, he doesn't allow me to call out people unless he tells me to. Now, when he tells me to call out people, I'll call them out and they'll get healed. But if he doesn't tell me to call them out, I'm not to do it. They're supposed to come forward with their request. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. So that's, I just want to throw that out there a little bit. And nobody's going to condemn you one way or the other. It's no big deal. You know, I get frustrated sometimes when I know that God wants to heal somebody and they don't respond. But, you know, that's God. And he's working on me too. Okay. He's working on my frustration. It's all got to be from God. It can't be man's works. Okay. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to add to that or comment on it or ask a question? I'll tell you something else. If you ask God for the gifts of healing to be operating in the gifts of healing, operating in the gifts of faith, operating in the gifts of miracles, he'll give it to you, or any of the gifts as far as that goes. I've asked for the gifts, all three of those gifts, and I've seen them all in operation. I want to. Don't get me wrong. I can't call them down, but we can have faith to pray for people. I can tell you this much, that the gift of healing and the gift of faith and the gift of miracles comes into play a lot. Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Leon. Did you have a question or comment?
No, I was at the place picking up a map today of the city, the Chamber of Commerce. I stopped by, they give out free maps, so I'm always giving them away. I gave Denny and Debbie one, and I think I gave Matt and Sue one, too. You know, so I seem to never have one. So I was stopping to pick them up, and the girl that was in there at the office, I noticed that she was holding her back and kind of limping, and I spoke to her some and then went out to the truck, and it's like the Lord said to me, you missed your opportunity to pray for that girl, you know. So I went back in and I said, yeah, I noticed that you were limping. Can I pray for you? And she goes, yeah. And I said, well, you know, do you believe, and so on and so forth. Yeah. I'll take prayer anytime. So I asked her if I could put my hand on her, and she said yes, so I prayed for her. Now, I don't know what the outcome is because I just left afterwards, but I'm confessing that she was healed. So.
Well, that's the outcome.
My faith is she's healed.
Amen. That's the outcome. Yeah, she was healed. That's what I always do. Somebody asked me what happened. They heal. Because that's what you're going there for. That's why God sent you back. And if he sent you back, he's got something in mind for her.
Right.
He's done that to me too, Leon. I've kind of ignored him at times, you know. But go ahead and pray for that right. lady, or go ahead and pray for that man over there. Nah, not today, Lord. I don't want to make a scene here. But then I have to go back because he kind of thrashes me about a little bit. Yep, you're right. So I believe something's happened to that girl. She's going to be having a good testimony next time you see her. I believe it. Okay, anybody else? Thank you for that. That's a good one. That'd give people incentive to go out there and pray for people.
And to listen. Listen when the Lord speaks to you, to listen to it.
Amen.
Because that's, if you just get an inkling that, no, I should have prayed for that girl or that guy, that is the Lord speaking to you.
Yep.
So, act on it.
Amen. Amen. That's true. All right. Anybody else? Hey, Steve. Can you hear me, Stephen? Come in, Stephen Borchert. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Got a praise report or testimony, or would like to pray about something? I'm gonna read something if I can out of John G. Lake's book, and this is The Power of Divine Healing. And it's just a little short thing, but I thought it was pretty powerful. He says, I believe the very beautiful thing we call salvation and the holy statement of Jesus Christ, you must be born again, in John 3:7, is itself a scientific fact and a declaration of God's divine purpose and intent based on the law of being. We are inclined to think that God just desires and our hearts are changed. But I want to tell you, beloved, that there is a process in a man's soul that admits God into his life. Your heart opens because it is touched by the love of God. And into the heart, into the nature of man, there comes the divine essence of the living spirit. And bless God, it has an action in him. Sin dissolves from his nature and from the mind of man. The Spirit of God takes possession of the cells of his brain, and his thoughts are changed by its action. There is a new realization of divine holiness, and by the grace of God, he discovered himself sanctified, indeed and in truth, because Christ, in truth, dwells there. Beloved, Jesus Christ had his eye and his soul fixed on that one dynamic power of God, the Holy Ghost. And his holy life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension to glory were all necessary in the process of soul development to arrive at the throne of God, where he could receive from the Father the gift of the Holy Ghost and have the privilege of ministering to your soul and mine. So in my heart, there has grown a wondrous reverence for the mighty Son of God, who saw beyond the ken, which is K-E-N, that's Scottish for to know, of man, who visioned in the distance, who sought in his soul for the key to the mighty powers of the nature of God, who determined for our relief and for our benefit and salvation to leave the throne of God, come to earth, be born as a man, take upon him the nature of man, not the nature of angels. He looked to God as men do, overcame by his power through reliance on his word, and so believing, so advancing step by step in the nature of God and the likeness of God, one day he stood forth, the eternal sacrifice before the throne of God, and received the eternal reward of his fidelity, the Holy Ghost. In life, Jesus, the man, was in the likeness of God. In resurrection, the nature of God. In glorification, the substance of God. And thus became the author of eternal salvation, Hebrews 5:9. And the man or the woman who does not understand the Holy Ghost and its magnificence and the wonder of its power must turn his heart again heavenward and see the price that Jesus paid in order to secure it for you and me, in order to give it to the world that was in sin, sickness, and death, to lift it out of darkness. He says, I love that blessed old hymn, You Must Be Born Again. Can we not sing it? No, I ain't singing it. I don't want to run everybody off. We're going to skip that part. He said, there is a process of divine transmutation. But beloved, by the power of God's Spirit in a man's heart, that process is going on every single day of your life. Sister, where God takes that which is natural, that which is earthly, touches it by his divine power, moves upon it by his heavenly nature, and in the name of Jesus Christ, you come forth no longer self and selfish, but now transformed, changed by the power of Christ into the nature of the Son of God, into the likeness of the Lord, into his character and nature and understanding and knowledge. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then he quotes 2 Peter 1:4, to us is giving exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, and being a partaker in consequence, escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Bless God, his divine purpose is not to whitewash the soul, but to change the character, transmute the life, by the grace of God. Make the man a Christ and King, a deliverer and Savior in common with the Lord Jesus Christ, his elder brother. If I am a brother of the Lord, then I am bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, and substance of his substance, like my elder brother. The source of life is the same source of life that is in him. The same purpose that is revealed in him is his high purpose for you and for me. Men have little understanding of the quality of faith or what it accomplishes because of the fact that they are not aware of the process by which that work is done. Faith has the quality and power with the Spirit of God to do what a match does to power. Talking about a striking match. It is the touch of God. It is the touch of faith through us that ignites the spirit and produces the divine action that takes place in the soul when sin is rebuked and cast out, when sickness is destroyed and dissolved from the life, the nature set free, and man rejoices as a son of God, saved in spirit, soul, and body. He said, one day there came to my healing room a little boy that we know on the streets as a newsboy. Just one of the little ragged chaps. A lady had observed the little fellow on the street in an epileptic fit. Afterwards, took him by the hand, led him into the healing rooms. We talked to the little chap about the Lord, prayed for him, and told him to come back again. The Lord healed him. He was a manly little urchin. And one day he said, Mr. Lake, I haven't any money to reward you with now, but you're not going to lose any money on me. We smiled and were glad to see the spirit of the little chap, and he went his way. About 2 weeks later, in the midst of a great meeting, he strutted in, marched up, and laid $5 silver on the table and marched out again. And then he got up against his first real problem of living his new life in his business. Every boy has a corner, talking about newspaper boys. He can sell papers on his own corner, and it's up to him to keep all other boys away. He had given his heart to the Lord. One day he came around with a long face. He said, it's all off. Oh, my goodness, it's all off. Lake said, well, my boy, what's the trouble? Well, they were going to rush my corner until I couldn't stand it, and I cleaned up the whole bunch fighting. The little chap was getting his first introduction into the real problem of being a Christian in this old world under a competitive system, the outgrowth of human selfishness devised by the devil. And one day a gentleman came along and wanted to buy a paper, and his arm was disabled, and he couldn't get his purse. He said to the boy, I have put my purse in the wrong pocket. Put your hand in and get it for me. And the boy said, what's wrong with your arm? He replied, I have what is called neuritis. My arm is paralyzed. The little chap said, well, if the doctors can't do you any good, I'll tell you where you can get it fixed up. There's some men up in the rookery building that pray and folks get well. And the man said, how do you know? He replied, well, I used to take fits and fall on the street, and they'd carry me off to the police station. And I was like that for 4 years. But I don't take fits anymore. And if you want me to, I'll take you up there. So he brought him up. He was the head of a great lumber concern. His name was Rose. He sat down and told me how he was moved by the child's simple words. But he had no more idea how God could heal a man or save man from sin than one of the Indians. So we began to tell of the Lord Jesus and his power to save and continue to minister to him each day. 3 weeks afterward, he returned again to the medical clinic, where 275 physicians had declared 4 weeks before that they could do nothing for him. They re-examined him and found him perfectly well, healed by the power of God. That is the power of divine healing. Now, he said, I went to the medical association and got a copy of the lecture that was given by Dr. Semple on the seriousness of the disease and the utter impossibility of medicine ever to help him or change his condition. Insofar as they were concerned, he was a cripple. The nerves were dead and atrophied. It would require a miracle, they said, to reproduce the original life and restore power in the tissue of the arm. But the miracle took place because there is a fountain of life, the life of God available for every man. Bless his name. That is the power of divine healing. You know, when the power of divine healing enters into you from whatever, if you're praying by yourself, the power is there. Or if you're getting prayed for by someone, they lay hands on you. That power is transferred from them to you, working inside of you. That's the power of God coming inside of you. Every cell in your body responds to that power. And it's the healing power of God. And the only thing that we have to do is to receive it and know that it's going through your body, all the way from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And when you go up to get prayer, if you go up to get prayer or need prayer, you tell them what you want specifically. I want healed of this thing or that thing or whatever. And then they're going to say, well, when do you want to get healed? Here's your answer you ought to tell them. I know I'm going to get healed right now if you just pray for me. That is what you do. You go up there in great expectation of being healed. You always go up there in great expectation and excitement and know that when they pray for you, you're going to get healed. And I guarantee you, you're going to see a miracle. I guarantee it, you're going to see a miracle. Amen. Because that's the transference of God's Holy Spirit going through them to you, into the spiritual part of you, and it's working throughout your whole body. Working throughout your whole body. It may not happen instantly. It might not happen for a day. It might not happen for 2 days, but it's going to happen if you stand in faith. I've seen it happen too many times, great many times. And that's why he wants us to stand in faith. Have faith. Have faith. Amen. Okay, I got another one here. How many of you have ever heard the testimony of R.W. Schambach telling about the 26 diseases of this 4-year-old kid that was born that way? Didn't have any eyes, didn't have any sight, no hearing, couldn't talk, his tongue hanged out all the time, he didn't have any feet, his hands were all gimped up, his arms was all gimped up. 26 bona fide miracles. And I thought tonight that I'd play that for you if y'all want to see it. Y'all want to see that? It'll move you. Now don't listen to all of the prosperity message. That comes through a little bit too. But just think about what's going on when it happens. This is an A.A. Allen. What happened with A.A. Allen praying for this guy? All right, let me see if I can figure it out here. Okay. Where's that share screen? All right, share computer sound. Do that. Ah, there it is.
Welcome to Power Today with internationally acclaimed pastor and evangelist, Brother R.W. Schambach. From tent revivals in America's urban centers to major venues around the world, Brother R.W. Schambach touches millions of lives daily with his message of hope, proclaiming the saving, healing power of Christ. And now, with over 50 years of dynamic ministry service, he is bringing this life-changing gospel into your home. This is Power Today with Brother R.W. Schambach.
I want to read something to you from the book of Acts. Now, at the very beginning of the book, it says the Acts of the Apostles. But I like to change one word. It's the Acts of the Holy Ghost. And this is the only book in the Bible that has not ended. There has no ending to it. Because that means the Holy Ghost is still acting. And he's still performing the miraculous and the supernatural. I want to read from the 3rd chapter of the book of Acts, first verse. If you have your Bible, you can follow me, but listen as I read it. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. Now that's the first miracle. They were praying. That's how Pentecost.
Hey, I didn't check to see if y'all can hear it. Can y'all hear it?
Yes,
okay.
I can.
Okay, good.
God started. Being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us!" And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Now, he didn't know what he was going to receive, but I underlined the word, he expected. He was expecting to receive something. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee," or "give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. They broke up a prayer meeting. I'd like to see some more prayer meetings broken up. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. I would like to suggest in your devotional time, read the first 5-6 chapters of this, and you will see how miracles played a very important part in the establishment of the church. In the fourth chapter, let me just read a little from this. Verse number 13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John," I believe we need a revival of boldness. I'd like to see God's people get bold and not be ashamed of what they believe, and let people know that it's for today, just like it was 2,000 years ago. "When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." What a testimony. "And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle which hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it.'" He's doing it again. "But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, ye judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and we have heard. Bow your hearts and let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the reading of the Holy Scriptures. The anointing of God is already here. You can sense it when you walk into this auditorium. And that anointing destroys every yoke. People are here from all over. Many of them are here for a miracle. Physically, some spiritually, some in their family relationship, some in their mind. Some need to be delivered from demon forces. And they've come not only to hear the word, but they've come to see God perform a miracle in their life. Lord, I've been praying, let this be the night. Don't allow one soul to leave this place disappointed. But let them leave here tonight singing a new song. I got just what I wanted from the Lord. And everybody said amen, amen. And amen. Many of you, I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but many of you have heard me tell the story, especially on TBN, of the greatest miracle that I ever witnessed was in A.A. Allen's meeting. A lot of people, when I tell that, they come to me as church folks. They said, did that really happen? I said, no, I'm just telling a lie. Sinners will believe what you say, but it's church folks that don't believe it. Where be all your miracles? When we were in Birmingham, Alabama, I'll never forget it. I'll just paraphrase it. A mother from Knoxville, Tennessee came to Birmingham, Alabama with her little son, 4 years of age, that was born with 26 major diseases. He was born blind and deaf and dumb, and his tongue hanged out of his mouth. Lay on his chin. He had deformed lungs, deformed liver, deformed heart. Only 2.5 chambers were functioning in the heart. He had no business to be alive. And she told me, she said, Brother Shambach, I preached the afternoon service. We called that the faith clinic to get him ready for the operating table tonight. Many of you need an operation tonight. And I've been praying about this. Let me go on just a little bit more about the story. But she came to me, and in my spirit I said, if God kept this boy alive 4 years, then he must be going to do something for him. Because the doctors told her that that boy would never see his first birthday. And he's approaching 4. Both arms were deformed, matted together, elbows protruding up into the stomach, both legs deformed, the knees touching the elbows. He was in a fetal position. Expecting that child to die any moment. He was born without male organs. And he was born without feet. 26 major diseases. And that woman stayed for a week, like some of you are going to do here. Don't go home early. You don't know what's coming. That woman stayed for a week. She lived in a motel, ate 3 restaurant meals. She gave in every service. We had 3 services a day. And she came to me the following Sunday after I got done preaching, and she said, "Is the man of God going to pray for my son?" I said, "I don't know." Because God used him in a supernatural way where he sees things. And he'd always take you on a trip. Halfway through his message, he was stopping. He said, "God is taking me on a trip." And I told her, I said, "Now, I don't know whether he's going to pray, but I'll tell you this one thing. If he does not pray..." Now, she told me, she said, I ain't got but $20 left. $15 is for the doctor. $5 is for gas to get me from Birmingham back to Knoxville." And you know that must have been years ago when gas was only 15 cents a gallon. Some of you young folks, you can't conceive that. But that's when it was cheap. And she said, "All I have left is $20, and you ain't going to see no doctor for $15. And she said, "I've got to take him back. Do you believe he's going to pray?" And I said, "I don't know, but I will tell you this one thing. If he does not pray for your child tonight, I will personally take that baby to the man of God's trailer house." We all lived in trailers. "And I'll get him to lay hands on that boy before you go home." She said, "You'll do that?" I said, "I'll do it." She went back to her seat, got in the service that night. I introduced the man of God, and he come flying out there. He said, "I believe God's going to do great things tonight." He said, "But before we do this, I'm going to take an offering." Doesn't that sound familiar? I hope you all obeyed God tonight when Pastor Parsley asked you to do something. Because that's what triggers many a miracle. It did in this case. And she said, "All I have left is $20. And he came out and he said, "I believe God's going to do great things tonight. But," he said, "before I preach, I want you to give God an offering of faith." And I never heard him use that terminology before this. And he said, "Now, if you don't know what I mean, an offering of faith is giving God something you can't afford. If you can afford it, there's no faith connected to it." And I saw that little woman throw that little baby into the arms of another woman, and she leaped out into the aisle and came running. He was holding the offering buckets. We were in the fairgrounds auditorium there. I'll never forget this. And she came running down there and threw an offering into the bucket. She was 3/4 of the way back, and she was the first one to the bucket. I leaped off the platform, and I went down and looked in the bucket. Because I'm nosy. I know what the woman had. Because she told me that afternoon. And when I looked in that bucket, I saw a $20 bill. I ran behind the platform and I wept like a baby. And I cried out to God and I said, "Oh God, I've been trying to teach faith to this woman all week. But I said, please, Jesus, give me faith like I saw that woman manifest tonight. I don't know whether I could have done that. And you don't know whether you could do it unless you're in a similar situation." And I jumped back on the platform and he started to preach. He was into his message about 10 minutes and he said, "I'm being carried away in the spirit." I said, "Oh no. Here we go on another trip. And all I have on my mind is that baby boy." And he says, "I'm coming up on a white building. Oh, I know it. It's a hospital. I'm on the inside now and I hear a lot of babies crying. It's the maternity ward. He said a little baby was just born. And there's four or five doctors around the table. And I hear one of the doctors saying the baby won't live to see its first birthday. He said the baby was born with, this is Brother Allen talking, the baby was born with 12, 16, 20, 26 major diseases. And I come alive. I said, my God, tonight's that baby's night. He said, the doctors are wrong. The boy's alive. And he said, I see the mother getting into an old Ford, packing a suitcase, another lady with her. And he said, I see the Tennessee-Alabama border. He said, that old Ford's pulling into the parking lot. He said, lady, you're here tonight. Bring me your baby now. God is going to give you 26 miracles. Nobody told me this story. I was there. I was an eyewitness to it. And she came and put that baby in his arms. Mama was standing over there at the end of the platform. He paced back and forth. He said, I want everybody to stand. Close your eyes. I'm standing with him, pacing with him. I said, I ain't closing my eyes. I said, I've been waiting for this all week. I'm going to be scriptural. I'm going to watch and pray. Darlene Bishop, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? I'm going to watch and pray. And I watched. And the first thing I saw, those blind eyes, a milky color, whirlpools began to spin around. And all of a sudden, the whirlpool was gone. And I was looking into the eyes of a brown-eyed baby boy. The blind eyes opened. I knew if God opened the eyes, I knew them deaf ears popped. And all of a sudden, the next thing, the arms started cracking and popping like cordwood. And both arms came out. Both legs simultaneously with the arms began to snap and brought both of those legs out. Remember, the boy was born without feet and born without male organs. But here, all of a sudden, and I saw this with my own eyes, God created feet on the little boy that had no feet. What do you want God to do for you? I've been hearing that ever since I got here. What do you want? Not what you need, what you want. What do you want? What do you want? Anything he wants to give me. I'm tired of that mess. What do you want? Jesus on the main line? Tell him what you want. I said, tell him what you want. Hallelujah. You're going to leave here. Oh, you're going to leave here a different person tonight. This is your night to receive a miracle from God. Hallelujah. Now, a little while ago, you told somebody, I believe you're going to get a miracle. Turn around that same person and say, I'm the one going to get the miracle tonight. That's what I'm here for. I'm believing God for myself. I'm going to claim this for myself. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I cannot deny God's power. Brother Allen put that boy down on his brand new feet. No shoes. You don't put shoes on clubs. He had no shoes, barefoot. Never saw his mama. Never talked. The tongue snapped back into his mouth for the first time. And he started taking off and running to mama. And I'm running right on his trail. And he leaped into his mama's arms and I heard him say his first words, Dwight, said, Mama! Oh, I'm telling you something, folks. That was the greatest night that I believe I was in, because that precipitated other miracles. 12 wheelchairs on that side. 12 wheelchairs. And when you see wheelchairs, a lot of them are motorcycle accident victims. Broken backs and hips. No hope. On that side were 15 stretchers they brought in from the hospital. All of a sudden, when they saw that miracle of that little boy, everybody in the wheelchairs, nobody laid hands on them, but all of them got up like a master sergeant commanded them to rise up, and they come out of the wheelchairs totally healed by the power of the living Christ. Every eye left the wheelchairs and every eye went to the stretchers. Anticipation set in. God never disappointed them. Nobody laid hands on them. No human hands. And everybody in those stretchers got up and walked out. Totally healed by the power of Christ. A notable miracle has taken place. One of the greatest, I believe, that I've ever seen. And it was precipitated by a $20 offering. That's all she had. You can't buy a miracle for $20. The man of God said, give God an offering. I hope you all did what God told you to do. When this man of God talked about them phone calls. Because when you give, you precipitate an offering. I mean, you participate, precipitate a miracle that's coming your way, especially if you're obedient to God. Now, that woman wrote me a letter, and this will top it off. She went to Knoxville, and she said, I'd have walked home just to get a new baby. I'd have walked home, but she said, I didn't have to walk, Brother Shamrock. She sent me the letter. She said, but you and that preacher left early that night. And I'm standing there, and she said, a little woman came and shook my hand. She was so happy for what God did for me. And she said, there was a folded piece of paper between the palms. And she said, she left it in my palm. And she said, I'm so glad for you. And she looked in her palm, and there was a $20 bill. And other people began to line up. And everybody that shook her hand had the same sensation between the palms. And they come by so fast, she said, I just opened my purse, Brother Shambach, and said, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. Hey! What do you want? She said, Brother Shambach, I went in the ladies' room and counted all that money. She said, and I counted it, and she told me what it was. And she said, isn't that just like Jesus? She said, I ate in 3 restaurants every day, gave in 3 offerings every day, paid the hotel bill. She said, God sent me home with more money than what I came with. And I'll never forget her P.S. Brother Shambach, you can't beat God given. No matter how much you try. I stole that from her, Percy. I made a book out of it. You just can't beat God given, no matter how much you try. So you taking another offering? Maybe some of you missed the first one. And you didn't obey God. And you may have to come down here and turn it loose. I ain't taking no offering. But I come here to preach. I didn't get started yet. Last year I got cheated out of it.
Wasn't that an awesome testimony? Have y'all heard that one before? That was an awesome testimony. I'd heard it years ago, but yeah, Leon.
I just heard it from you.
Yeah.
You told it.
Yeah.
That was good to hear that, though.
Oh, yeah. From somebody that was there. Yeah. It saw that. So that should tell you something about God. It ain't nothing too big for God. Nothing too big for him. Nothing too big for him, is it, Leon? Yeah, go ahead.
Are you going to take an offering now?
Good. I ain't scared. I do it. But that's not what moves God. What moves God is faith. It's faith that moves God. Faith is the root. Love is the fruit. I saw that the other day in one of Andrew Murray's books, and I said, man, that is so true. Amen. Anybody got any comments on that? Is there anything too hard for God? I mean, if he can take a newborn baby that was supposed to have died the first year, within the first year of his birth, and keep him alive for 4 years for one thing, is to show people that he'll do it for his glory. And that's what that's why I believe he did it, for his glory. He kept that baby alive for 4 years so his glory would be broadcast throughout the world. It wasn't anything that A.A. Allen did other than have faith, you know. A.A. Allen had great faith, by the way. He was a, most of you know, he was a good man of God. He saw a lot of miracles under that man. Well, all right. I got one more if you want to look at it. It's A.A. Allen in action. It's not very long. I love to watch these things because I tell you what, this is for, let's see if I can find it here. Hang on just a second. I'm going to have to find it.
God's going to do it. The Lord is on the main line.
Tell him what you want.
Tell him what you want.
Tell him what you want.
Say the Lord is on the main line.
Tell him what you want.
Tell him what you want. What you want?
Heavenly Father, please let my child walk again.
Let my baby walk again. This is her little baby. Polio arthritis for 2.5 years. And you want Jesus to what?
In Jesus' name, let my baby walk.
In Jesus' name, let my baby walk. You want to tell him what you want, honey?
I want to walk.
Oh, God. I can't help it. This just breaks my heart. Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
I'm going to tell you what I want tonight.
I'm going to tell you what I want tonight.
You've got to do it, Jesus.
You've got to do it, Jesus. You've got to do it, Jesus.
You've got to do it. Get ready to sing, Jane. Oh, God, for this child with this polio. She wants to get out and romp and play like other children. With this arthritis, you're going to touch her little body. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, let the power of God come on this child. Loose her from this demon of polio and arthritis. Let the Spirit of the Lord and the power of God raise her up with a brand new body so constantly and continually she'll be like other girls and boys. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. She's a little stiff yet, but she's going to limber up. Jump up and down, honey. Get started getting limber. Get limber for Jesus.
Bring us the music, David.
How are you now?
All right. I feel fine.
You feel fine. What do you think about this?
Only to thank God.
What y'all think of that one? That's cool, wasn't it? That little baby got this walk again. Thank you, Jesus. That's awesome. I love it when God heals the children. That's the most fun. Well, praise God. All right. Y'all are awful quiet tonight. I can't do nothing but shout. I'm ready to shout. I'm telling you what, I'm ready to get up here and shout. Glory to God. Because God can do it. He can do it. He's, Judy, he's going to heal you. Leon, he's going to heal you. He's going to heal everybody that's waiting, because the waiting is over. Waiting time is over. I'm telling you, that's what he's been telling me. It's time. It's time. Praise God. Last night in the prayer meeting last night, we had fellowship, local fellowship. Lord showed me a glory cloud above the group there in fellowship. And it's just right above our heads. I mean, it's ready to fall most any time. We're going to see it. We're going to have it. Y'all too. Just keep praying. Keep praying. Keep believing. Because the glory is fixing to come. Revival's fixing to start, and the miracles are fixing to start. You know, when God's people understand faith, signs and wonders will follow the preaching of God's word. The signs and wonders will follow God's preaching, or the preaching of God's word. And that's all we have to do. Praise God. Okay. What else now? I'm ready to go find somebody that needs a healing. Y'all ever have? Yeah, go ahead, Leah.
Well, you just named a couple of people here that need healing. If you can do it, do it.
Well, I can't heal you, but God can. If you believe, brother, I don't mind praying. I sure don't.
Well, you know, it's like those people in the wheelchair and the people on the stretcher.
Amen.
That's the kind of thing we need. We're on the cameras. We need to be healed.
Amen. That's right. In Jesus' name. Well, here, you know, the thing about healing is, do you believe you're going to be healed? When you think he's going to heal you. Right, right now. All right. In the name of Jesus, be healed. I command the power of God to come down into Leon right now in Jesus' name. I command that leg to be healed and that hip joint to be healed in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, whatever else he needs is healed in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father. We don't know what's going on in his body. We can't see what's going on in his body. But Lord, I know there's been a transference of power, your power, to him. And I thank you, Father, that his leg is healed. In Jesus' name, I command every cell in his body to be healed in the name of Jesus. And anything that needs to be restored, I command it to be restored. Thank you, Lord. You're a good God, and you've done. You know, we've never seen this on conference calls. Lord, is a miracle healing right here on the conference call as far as what we're asking for, Father. Thank you, Lord, for making your power known to everybody out there. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, that we're all pointing our finger. We're believing that Leon is healed in the name of Jesus. Now get up and jump around, brother. Amen. Get up and show us that you're healed. That's all we need to see. Do something you couldn't do before. Get your pants on, for goodness sake. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. You girls, hide your eyes.
I'm just a fool for Jesus.
Amen. That's good. Praise God. How's it feel? Amen.
Very good.
All right. Bless. Praise God. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. I believe. Thank you, Father. Amen. That's what he wants us to be, is be a fool for him. You know about our authority, don't you? What is our authority? You know what authority does? Authority don't beg, does it? It don't ask. What does it do? It commands. And that's what Jesus gave us. He gave us the authority in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. He gave us that authority. And we need to exercise that authority with our tongue, don't we? With the spoken word. Because Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So what you speak is what you got. If you speak that I hadn't been healed, then that's exactly what you're going to get. If you speak that God can't heal me, or he won't heal me, or he don't heal me anymore, then bless God, that's what you're going to get. But if you believe the word of God, and you believe that when you're prayed for, you're going to be, you don't even have to be prayed for. You can just believe for yourself. You'll be healed. You have already been healed, as a matter of fact. Jesus, when he used his authority, he didn't sit around there and mealy mouth them demons, did he? In Mark 1:27, he said, and they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And that's the way God wants us to walk, to know that the blessings, all the blessings of heaven are following us around. Praise God. God never even touched some of them people. He just did it with a spoken word. In Matthew 8:16, he says, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. Most diseases are devils or demons. Most of them. He healed the sick with the spoken word in Luke chapter 7, verse 7. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but saying a word, and my servant shall be healed. And then over in John chapter 5 and verse 8, Jesus saith unto him, rise up, take up thy bed, and walk. Never laid a hand on him. Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Jesus told us, he commanded us to heal the sick. He said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely ye have received, freely give. He didn't ask, he didn't tell us to pray and to ask God to heal the sick. He told us to do it. He gave us the instructions to do that. He commanded every time, come up, get up and walk, boy. And then Peter, old Peter, you remember that in Acts chapter 3 and verse 6, he said, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Then in Luke chapter 9 and verse 1, Jesus gave his disciples authority, but he also gave them authority over the devils. He gave them the ability to cure diseases too. He said, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Amen. Now, you know that over in James chapter 5, that he told to call on the elders to come lay hands on you and anoint them with oil, and they'll be healed and also their sins forgiven. You can pray for people like that too, you know. I mean, but what God wants us to do is command them demons off of them, command healing into their life, command restoration, command those cells to be healed. Mark 16:17. I do like to lay hands on people because I know there's a transference of power many times. Mark 16:17-18. It says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. They shall recover. And I believe that's because of the transference of power that God has. You get that power one way, or two ways, praying and getting in the Word. Praying in the Spirit a lot. I do that quite often because I remember reading John Lake, and he said, the essence of his power came from praying in tongues a lot. And I found that true in my life as well. Even in praise and worship, you know, I pray a lot in the Spirit, or sing a lot in the Spirit. And it just takes a little short while to get into the Spirit. And you get to see things. You get to experience things in the Spirit realm. Praise God. Y'all remember Tom Kruger's testimony and how that it wouldn't take him long at all to get into the Spirit. And he'd go places. Now, I haven't been able to go places like he has, but I do see a lot of things in the Spirit realm. Here lately, a lot of things. But that's just God acclimating us to the spiritual walk that he's got us in. Praise God. And the best way to get in the Spirit during praise and worship is close your eyes and start seeing Jesus. Start looking for Jesus. Start believing you're getting close to Jesus. You know, you're singing these praises to God. It's hard to get in the Spirit realm when your eyes are open. I can tell you that for sure. It's hard to do that. Praise and worship is a good way to get in the Spirit. Prayer time in your closet is another good way. Okay, somebody else. Who wants to say something? Who wants to talk? Who wants to give us some testimony? John chapter 7, verse 38. Let me just say this right quick. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, from within him shall flow rivers of living water. Woo! That's the Holy Spirit, the living water flowing right out of you into other people. And that's why it's essential that when we come together as a group, that we pray that the Holy Spirit would fill us up, or even by yourself. Lord, I just desire to be filled by your Holy Spirit. Praise God. Okay, anybody got any questions or would like to comment or share something? How about it, Andrew? I don't want to put you on the spot, but I know you're sitting there thinking about something. You're Dave or Willie or Leon or some of you, Joe.
Hey, I just want to say that I am healed.
Amen.
Jesus. And Judy ought to be doing that too.
Yeah. You hadn't oiled that chair yet, have you?
I did, but now it's squeaking again.
Okay. Hey, Judy. I can't hear you. You gotta talk into a microphone, honey.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Well, pray for my knee.
Pray for your knee?
Yes.
Okay, you gonna believe?
Yes.
Okay, are you gonna be healed?
Yes.
When are you gonna be healed?
Now.
Okay. Amen. In the name of Jesus, right now, we command that arthritis demon off of her to go. Right now, in Jesus' name, we command every joint in her body to be healed in the name of Jesus. That arthritis spirit, you go from her. You spirit of infirmity, you go from that woman. And right now, in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, that she is healed. Every joint right now, be healed in the name of Jesus. Judy, I want you to be moving your joints right now, even as we speak. I command the knee joints to be healed. I command the pain to go. In Jesus' name, you have to go in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that she is healed. We praise you, Father, that she's healed. In Jesus, every joint, we command the swelling to go down. We command the pain to go. And we command complete healing in Judy's body right now in Jesus' name. Judy, do you believe that has happened already? All right, get up and do something you couldn't do. Get up and jump up and down on that leg right now in Jesus' name. Don't even think about it. Just do it in Jesus' name because you're healed. Praise God. Get up there and dance around. Do the two-step. If you can't do that, do the rabbit hop. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Work them legs up and down. Bend them up. Bend them up. Bend them up. Bend them up. Kick up. Do the high kick like you did when you was a cheerleader. Come on, girl. I know you can do it. Amen. Okay. All right. Is it better?
Yes.
Is it better?
Yes.
Okay. Then I suggest that once you get off tonight, you keep on walking around there and you keep praising God because you're healed, girl. You are healed in Jesus' name. Everybody believe that, don't they? She is healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you,
amen.
Father. Glory be to God. Praise Jesus. Ooh, my, my, my. I don't know what you felt, Judy, but I felt the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, my, my, my. The Holy Spirit's powerful, powerful God. Here's a, yeah, go ahead, Denny. Oh, are you just praying? Okay. Yeah. Praise God. Hey, Stephen.
Hey, this is Pearl.
Hey, Pearl. What's up, girl?
Hey. I wanted to ask, what scripture was you reading earlier? What was it again?
Which one? I read about five or six of them.
It was the one, was it John 7 or John?
John 7:38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, from within him shall flow rivers of living water. That's the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Woo! Glory to God. I'm telling you what, girl, you get that Holy Spirit in you, that thing will flow out of you and people's lives will be changed forever. Glory to God.
Right.
Amen. I can get excited about God now, can't y'all?
Amen.
You know, that's why I like to listen to R.W. Scheinbach. That guy can get you all encouraged up, can't he? And I like that organ player back there. Boom, boom, boom. You know, and they'll accentuate when he hits a high point or something there. You know, that organ player's getting after it. I like that. Mm-hmm. That was, by the way, that was Rod Parsley's church. Yeah, Leon, go ahead, brother.
You should teach Don to do that. Whenever you speak, Don could play the piano. And he could change it to organ and play the keyboard behind you.
Yeah.
Hey, it would be great.
You know, I've been in churches that they've done that, and it's an encouragement, actually, for me, an old country boy, you know. Luke 10:19. Behold, this is one of my favorites. It tells you where your authority is. It gives where your power lies right here. Behold, I give you. This is Jesus. I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's the New King James Version. And nothing, ain't nothing in this world can hurt you if you have faith to believe. Authority just means it gives you the right over power. The right over power. And that choice is yours, and that responsibility is yours. He says he's given us the blessings of all of heaven. All of heaven. All the blessings of heaven are available to you. Yeah, Leah.
Jesus said he was given all authority in heaven and on earth.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got the authority.
And amen. He gives it
to us.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise God. And he also, if you remember, back in the Old Testament, in Genesis, he gave man that divine dominion over everything. And the only reason that it was taken away is because of sin. But now we have Jesus Christ who has restored that dominion again. So if you get a wild cat, Joe, that wants to act ugly, you can have dominion over that cat. Do you know what I'm talking about? Or dog, yeah. Or dog or whatever. Or runaway wife. Or no, I'm just kidding now. Yeah, we can have dominion over everything that tries to come against us. But that's you know, there again, it's not anything that's physical. It's all spiritual. It's spiritual warfare. And praise God, God's teaching us how to do that. You know, he gave us that authority, and he expects us to use it. And if you disobey God by not using it, things ain't going to go very well for you in your life, is it? We have to exercise that authority that he's given us. Praise God.
Michael.
Yes.
Remember what God told Moses when they were standing at the Red Sea? He said,
yeah.
What are you standing here for? Get it done.
Yeah. He said, I ain't going to do nothing. It's up to you, buddy. Raise that thing up and command it yourself. I've done all the work I'm going to do. I gave you the authority. Now you do it. That's the same thing he's done with us. It's the same thing. We don't have to beg God. We just do it. I'll tell you something. If you'll exercise that authority you have, you'll have some great testimonies to tell from people. I remember the first time I was up in Illinois somewhere at a Curry Blake meeting. I forget what part of Illinois it was, but I was up there. It wasn't very far up in there. And I had been in one of his divine healing technician conferences up there, and I was learning how to exercise that authority. You know, I knew how to, that God healed, and I'd been with a guy that knew all that stuff. But, you know, you have to get it in your own spirit, don't you? You have to get it in your own heart. And anyway, he had talked something that morning, and I just went out for lunch and walked around the neighborhood, and this lady was out in her yard, and she was having a terrible time moving around, walking, and I could tell she was having problems walking. And I got into conversation with her. I said, you believe God can heal? She said, yeah, I do. I said, well, you know, if I pray for you, God's going to heal you of that. She said, well, then pray. So I did. And I didn't pray. I just commanded them legs to start walking like they're supposed to. Restored. And God gets to instantly heal that old lady. He did, right then and there. Now, I say old lady now, but that's been quite a number of years ago. She probably wasn't much older than me, if she was any older than me right now. But God healed her right then. I said, glory to God, looky here, what God has given us. And so that put us on the road to praying for many, many folks. Many folks. Still do. I like it. I love to pray for folks' healing and deliverance, and see the smile come on their face when they're healed, and not only that, when deliverance comes to people, that shining that you see, you know, God going in and just delivering them all of that garbage. It's awesome. It's awesome stuff. Anybody got a good testimony about something, somebody that they prayed for? Yeah, go ahead, Diddy.
Yeah, I just want to pray for Kurt. So, Father,
okay.
We thank you. Lord, Kurt's been standing in faith, and it's solid faith, and so we thank you. For that, we command that healing to manifest in Jesus' name, that those cataracts would fall off of his eyes.
Yep.
They would just drop off in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And we just receive it in Jesus' name.
Yeah. In the name of Jesus, we command those cataracts to go right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that Kurt has received that and he is absolutely seeing in Jesus' name. Kurt, are you there? Uh-oh, he's sleeping during his healing service. Oh, no, there he is.
Yeah, sure.
Amen, brother. Did you hear Denny?
I did.
Okay. You received that healing?
I pray I did.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Hey, Malcolm. Hey, Leo.
Hey, Michael. I just came home from work and got in really late last night, so I haven't really had a chance to get with my son and all and my family. But my son just fell asleep. This little Josiah right here on my bed. You see him?
Yeah, I see.
Yes. Cute.
Thank you, Lord.
That's him.
Lord, Josiah, be healed in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
So I thought, he's sleeping right now, but earlier he was, you know, he was kind of in a fit. And I thought maybe, I could use some encouragement to have that kind of boldness, you know, to approach Christ and believe for that complete healing and the complete deliverance from these spirits that cause him all this torment. See, like right now he's kind of arching.
Yeah.
He has these kind of like seizures, but right now he's sleeping, so he's not screaming. But I want to go ahead and maybe put that cloth that we prayed for.
Yep.
You know, that I've got it right here in this little envelope.
And if we can just all say a prayer. And
yep. We'll put this y'all extend your hands toward Lynn and Josiah right now.
This is,
and just imagine your eye, in your mind, that he's healed. Go ahead, yep. Leo.
This is that cloth that we prayed for and anointed in that potluck blessing.
Yep.
And so I'm going to, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to put it on his little head. And we just bless Josiah in the name of Jesus. We bless him. We command him to be healed. We command him to be loosed from all demonic spirits.
Yes.
We command his nervous system to be healed.
Thank you, Father.
We speak healing into his entire body, from in every cell of his body. In Jesus' name.
From the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, Lord, we thank you that your power is going through his body right now. And every cell in his body, every muscle in his body, everything in his body is restored as a newborn baby in Jesus' name. Completely restored in Jesus' name. We command any demonic interference in there to go from him right now in Jesus' name. You leave his body in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, that he is healed. Glory, hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I just praise you, Father, that he is healed. He is healed. Thank you, Father. You're an awesome God. Just like that little four-year-old baby was healed. Lord, this baby here is healed too. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Ooh, my. Praise you, Father. Thank you for your power, Lord. Lord, we thank you when he wakes up, he's going to be normal. In Jesus' name. He's already normal. In the name of Jesus. We believe it. We decree it. And we declare it. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, my. Leave that cloth on him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. I know it's a done deal. I know it is. Praise you, Father. Who's that pretty little girl back there? Is that your daughter?
Yeah, that's my little daughter.
Hey, sugar.
Say hi.
Hi. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Leo came down and visited this past weekend, and we had an awesome time together. It's really a good time.
Goodbye, yeah.
Bye-bye, Josiah. Bye-bye. What's her name?
Leanna.
Leanna. Bye, Leanna. Bye-bye. She's a little shy.
Yeah.
Praise God. That's a good thing. Thank you, Lord. Y'all believe that? I'm just going to continue praying for that baby. I'll continue praying for her. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We've already had two confirming dreams that baby's normal. Two of them that baby's normal. So we know it's done. We know it's done. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, I'm looking for the testimony. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to add?
Yeah, Michael.
Yeah, go ahead, Marla.
Yeah, I just, he was asking before if anybody, you know, had a testimony of somebody they prayed for and they got healed. And I shared this before on the, I don't know how long ago it's been, because they shared quite a few places, but our grandson was born in California, and he was, I mean, they thought he would die. They didn't think he would live. They sent, from Stanford Medical Center, they sent a jet plane down to pick him up with six doctors aboard. And when they got him back up there, they told the parents that, you know, he he probably wasn't going to live, and if he did, because his heart had quit for quite a while, and they said his brain would be damaged, and every organ in his body would be damaged, even if he lived. And we were in Texas at another daughter's, and we started driving to California right away and started calling people to pray, and that baby turned out to be absolutely perfectly normal. And that, they said, well, if he lived and he got to go home, he'd be there at the Stanford Medical Center for a long time. And I think we were there for like 2 weeks, and he went home, and he was normal. I mean, and they took pictures, and we looked at those pictures last winter because we had forgotten how bad he was. I mean, he was purple. He was swelled up like roadkill. I mean, he looked terrible. And that was just an absolute, the doctors at the Stanford Medical Center said that was an absolute miracle because they didn't think he would live at all. So, I've shared that before, but I don't know how many people have heard it. So, anyway.
Yeah, that's a good testimony. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. He's still doing good, huh?
Yeah, he's going to be 8 years old and Christmas Day, I think.
Praise God. Praise God. That's the kind you really like to see God do a miracle in, because man, it affects a lot of people's lives when that happens.
Yeah, and we kind of, because we didn't get out there for a while, and the parents were there. They were there right away, and we kind of traced it back, and he started improving about the time we started, you know, people started praying for him.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, praise God for believing parents. I've prayed for kids before that the parents weren't anything but a hindrance. And it's tough. It's tough doing it. But
well, I'll tell you what. These parents, they weren't. It wasn't because of their belief. It was because of the other people praying.
Amen. Amen. I prayed for a little Baptist boy. He was probably 8 or 9 years old, maybe 10 years old. Had got leukemia. And I'd gone up there. Some people had asked me to go up there and pray for him. And I went up there and prayed for him and asked his father if I could go in there and pray for him. He was a local school school principal for the junior high back in Arkansas. And he said, yeah, these are Baptist people. And the mother was kind of hesitant, but, you know, I wasn't going to go in there and, you know, I was just going to pray for him is all I was going to do. And I prayed for him, and he didn't get any better at that point in time. And the Lord told me to go back and pray for him. I don't know, it was probably 2 or 3 weeks later. This kid had to stay in the hospital for a long time. And I went back up there, and his mother said, absolutely not. No, you can't pray for him anymore. And I said, okay. And they sought help from everybody but the Lord. They even went over to Israel for some kind of a thing that they did for kids that was leukemia, but of course it didn't work. And that's the kind that are heartbreaking. You know God can heal. You know He will heal. And then the parents don't believe. Well, okay. Has anybody got anything we need to pray for before we close out tonight? What do y'all want to talk about next Thursday? This coming Thursday. Y'all got anything in mind? Let's talk about divine healing. What do you think? Let's talk about divine healing. I want everybody to come back with a story, with a testimony of somebody you read about or something that's happened in your life or something, just to encourage everybody. And if everybody gets one, we'll have a pretty good program, because you'll get something different. Somebody else will get something different. And it may run across something that'll help you. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for your healing power. I thank you for your bold and great and bold faith you've put in us, Lord. And I praise you for that. I thank you, Lord, that Judy's healed. I thank you, Lord, that Josiah's healed. And I thank you, Lord, that Leon's healed and everybody else that needs healing, Lord, that they are healed out of this conference call in Jesus' name. And those out there listening that don't ever get on, if you're believing, you're healed in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for your power. We thank you for your authority. But most of all, we thank you for your love that brought us into the kingdom, Lord. That's the mainest thing right there. We praise you, Father, for bringing us into your wonderful kingdom. And we thank you for it. Lord, protect us, provide for us, heal us, deliver us, and all the other things, Lord, that go along with this great walk that you've got us on, Lord. Thank you for getting the sin out of our life, getting the flesh out of us, getting the world out of us, Lord. Because we want to walk with the bride. We want to be in the bride, Lord. And we praise you for that. And we thank you, Lord, that when we come back together, there is going to be some great testimonies that are going to be given, and it'll help everybody in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And we praise you, Father, for all that you're doing in little Josiah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all be blessed. Well, there it is. Y'all are unmuted. Good night, y'all.